If you are just joining us, we are a couple months into a series called Life in the Kingdom, and it's coming out of Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapters 5 to 7, very famously called the Sermon on the Mount. It's where Jesus lays forth a vision for the kind of life that's possible when we follow him with everything we have. We call it Life in the Kingdom because that was Jesus' framework for the gospel. The gospel, according to Jesus, is that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here within reach. The more of God's will as it is in heaven, God wants it to be done on earth. There's that famous prayer. That's the kingdom. When our lives get more and more transformed to the wholeness, the goodness, the perfection, the fruit of what takes place in heaven. And Jesus was there bringing that incredible news. And this kingdom message, this Sermon on the Mount, is this huge vision that Jesus is going to cast of God's heart and how we step into more of that. And we're in a section right now, you got to have a little background, because it's dangerous in one sense, because Jesus is starting to share some real challenges of how we live our life in response to God. But if we don't know the context, it could become those just rules. Do more of this, do more of that. So we got to know the context that Jesus starts the whole message with these things called the Beatitudes, that are these eight core teachings of how God is graciously already at work in our life to bring his kingdom, and how in his undeserved goodness, he wants to transform our lives and bring more of heaven to earth as we follow him. And in that context of the destiny that's possible through resting in him, through resting in what he wants to do in the Beatitudes, then he's going to empower us as we get transformed, as we soak in our identity that he reveals in the Beatitudes of who God is and how God wants to operate in our life. So if you missed those, I would encourage you to jump back on the podcast, because they're really the foundation. But as we soak in that identity of that undeserved goodness, of the purity that God wants to bring, of being wrapped in the robe of righteousness, and all of those incredible pieces of God's heart for us, and we soak in that, then that transforms and empowers us to walk in this new way of life that Jesus is in right now. There's these nitty-gritty challenges of everyday life. He's talked about anger, reconciling brothers and sisters, talked about lust. He's going to talk today about telling the truth. So these nitty-gritty challenges we face every day, and how what it looks like when the kingdom takes reign of our life, and we can live an upside-down way of what we normally do on our own strength. So as we see today, and all of these, again, I want us to see them not as something that God's telling us to do as a list of rules on our own strength, but he's going to give us some transforming practices, some things that we can step into in light of God's grace, in light of God's power. And what we can do is come into agreement with God wanting to change the atmosphere and come into agreement with our lives, basically saying, yes, God, I want more of you reigning, and here's my step towards that. And your spirit's going to empower it, and your spirit is going to be the difference maker. It's not about me meeting up to the rules. That makes sense? We with us? Big difference. All right, so moving into that, we go into Matthew chapter 5, 33. Again, you have heard it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So let's unpack this a little bit here. Jesus does something that's very typical of the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to see you watch for them. He's going to talk about a vicious cycle, what happens when we do life on our own strength, and he's going to talk about the transforming practice that he's going to invite us into that breaks a vicious cycle and ushers in more of God's will, of God's way, of God's kingdom. So look for those things. But first, a little bit of background. Jesus is mentioning all sorts of these things to not swear by. Don't swear by heaven. Don't swear by Jerusalem. Now, originally, where this came from was people would not take an oath or swear by something, or by God, out of a respect for God. But by the time this gets to Jesus, what had happened is people began adding a bunch of different things to swear by, their own self, Jerusalem, et cetera, as Jesus mentions. But in practice, what that had become was by swearing by something less than God himself, people essentially felt better about breaking the oath because it wasn't made to God himself. It was a way of deceptively justifying the breaking of the oath. That's why Jesus goes on real quick in Matthew 24 to speak to the same issue. He says, "Woe to you who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it's nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he's bound by his oath, and if anyone swears by the altar, it's nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift that's on the altar, he's bound by his oath." Jesus is just saying, you see the hypocrisy here? You have become experts at adding all these little nooks and crannies in order to justify the reasons, your own reasons, why you really don't have to be bound by what you've said. You really don't have to be bound by what you've committed to because you've made all these little additional rules and justifications that, well, if you swear by this, then you have to keep it, but if you swear by this and this, then you don't really have to follow through. It was just kind of like a what, basically, Jesus saying, what? A joke? Are you lying? Is it? What is it? So Jesus is going to point out, first of all, it's kind of as we read this, we're like, what is he talking about? Well, he's dealing with an issue of the day. And let's put it in some of our language. He's pointing out a vicious cycle that lying had become very commonplace and justifying those lies had become equally commonplace. People were not following through with their commitments, with their oaths, and justifying all sorts of reasons why they didn't really need to. And we experience a very vicious cycle of that, even today. Basically, Jesus is entering a context where he's saying, I can't trust what you're saying. And you have all sorts of reasons just to justify and make yourself feel good that you don't really have to tell the truth and really follow through and have a life of integrity. And this vicious cycle is with us today. I mean, I think we've all probably, ad nauseum, lost count of how many times there's a celebrity, a businessman, a politician, a pastor, a leader that has stood before a group with boldness and confidence and said, in the face of rumors or accusations, I swear by da-da-da-da-da and this and that, that these are baseless and false allegations and none of it's true and I'm innocent. And then 2 weeks later, the YouTube video pops up or the picture. And one of our trusted leaders is caught in this just bold-faced lie. And it's so amazing to me. This is so common. And this is this vicious cycle that we are in a world now where we don't trust our leaders. And for good reason. In a lot of ways, the trust has been broken. It's been broken because of this very vicious cycle that Jesus is going to speak to. And at the beginning of this, you're reading this and it's just like, wow, what does this have to do with my life? And then Jesus, come on, man, don't you got something better for me? And this is your Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus is speaking to something that truly is tearing at the fabric of society. It's a vicious cycle that is tearing apart what would be a healthy society, a healthy relationships. There's a word here that comes up in all of this. It's very fascinating to me. As I did a little study on it, I'm like, oh, man, this is kind of cool. Talks about integrity. I think Jesus doesn't use that word, but he's speaking to having integrity. That's the problem that he's speaking. There was a major lack of integrity, a lack of integration. That word integrity has an interesting root. It means whole, together, integrated. Think about that. Our life, does it have integrity? Is it integrated? Is it whole? And what Jesus is speaking of here is your outer life and your inner life. Is there an integration of the two? What you say on the outside, is that what's really going on the inside? And what's going on the inside, is that what's given out to the outside? Is there an integration, an integrity that bonds your life together? Because if not, you're setting yourself up for a vicious cycle that's going to end in a painful collapse of some sort. And I mean, I think we're seeing that in many ways in our society, with a lack of trust is rampantly tearing apart relationships. And that's messy, because God designed relationships with God and others to be the very fabric on which our life is built. You know, as we talked about a couple weeks ago in the marriage, naked and unashamed is the destiny, the desire for God and for how humanity to interact to one another. We need each other. We need to have trust. It is so absolutely foundational to healthy relationship, to the life God has for us, to fulfill that greatest commandment of love God and love others, to be able to live in those healthy, vibrant, life-giving relationships. Naked and unashamed, that's a description of marriage, but it applies to healthy relationship where there's a trust, there's an honesty. We don't have to fear one another. Like Adam and Eve, you know, that symbolic fig leaf to protect. Because now that's other, I can't trust them anymore. And this is what Jesus is getting at. This is some serious stuff. Is there an integrity in our life? Because if not, we're gonna experience sooner or later a vicious cycle of that fabric of life being torn apart. As I was kind of thinking about this and praying, this phrase popped into my head. And as I looked into it, I'm like, I wonder where this came from. This phrase, structural integrity. Jesus is saying, does your life have the structural integrity for God to build on, build his kingdom in? And as I thought about it, I was like, oh my gosh, I think this is a little ode to my pops here. He's an engineer. I don't even know where I heard this. I'm not an engineer. Structural integrity, as I did a little research on it, I was like, you know what? This is a powerful notion that Jesus is teaching into us to be people of integrity. Our yes be yes, our no be no, that there is an integration between outer life, inner life, inner life, outer life. There's not the falsehood in there. There's not the justification for lying and exaggerating and pretending and hiding. Your yes is yes, your no is no. That will bring a structural integrity. Now, structural integrity, I'm going to just venture a little description, a little definition. Please don't grade me on this. Okay, just go with it, okay? Don't correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going for a C+. For structures, there's an idea. If a structure is going to fulfill the design, its purpose, let's say to a bridge that needs to bear the load of 1,000 cars, or a building that needs to bear the load of 10 stories high and hundreds of people, there needs to be structural integrity, meaning the correct combination of materials in the appropriate amounts, in the appropriate places. For example, in a building, you need the steel, the metal, you need the right kind of metal, you need screws, you need the right kind of screws, you need the screws in the proper locations, the right amount of them, and all fit together, they bond, they integrate, they make a whole that allows that structure to have strength. If they don't, that structure is in danger of collapsing. You have the wrong materials, the wrong kind of bonding agents, the wrong amounts, the wrong places. Your structure is in danger of collapse. And then I'll show a little picture. Am I doing okay? C+? B+. Man, curve. Oh man, that's not bright enough. Shoot. Well, this is a picture of the Christ Church Cathedral in New Zealand. And a beautiful, beautiful old church. And Awesome structure, right? Well, in 2011, there was an earthquake in Christchurch, New Zealand, 6.3, not massive. That middle structure right here is the remains of that building. And so, not even a massive earthquake, but the engineer who researched it basically concludes that there was many old houses, commercial buildings constructed in the early 20th century, some cases in the 19th century, which relied on a single or double brick for their structural integrity. That was cool. And they disintegrated rapidly. They had a single or double brick. In other words, let's get that picture back up there and just kind of leave it up there, because I feel that picture is a powerful image for really what Jesus is getting at in our life. That if we are going to live with a lack of integrity in our life, if we're going to choose that path, it is going to be a vicious cycle that will sooner or later end up in collapse. It will fall through. It will produce bad fruit. And a couple, I want to go to our culture for a minute here. One business, one sports. Just to give the example, and they may be extreme examples, but examples that Jesus is just, he's just always right. He's always good. He knows what he's talking about. This invitation to live in this way, this transforming practice where we would choose integrity, choose truth, is truly the way that is going to open up the power and presence of God transforming our life and us becoming that structure, if you will, the material on which God can build a strong house of our life that isn't threatened by the earthquakes. So one story, you guys know. In business, Bernie Madoff, right? Brilliant businessman, but chose to live without integrity. Didn't keep his oaths, lied to many close friends, close family, close people in the way that he was doing the investing for them. And so he very famously came out in the last recession as this fraudulent Ponzi scheme with billions of dollars. There wasn't a structural integrity. Sooner or later, it crashed. That's Jesus' message. It will produce bad fruit. That's the whole Sermon on the Mount. Sooner or later, these vicious cycles are going to make a mess of life. God's way is to do the opposite. It's to build a life that produces lasting good fruit. And right now, this guy is in his 70s, in a jail cell by himself, where he has a 150-year sentence. Instead of, right now, you know, enjoying those golden years with his grandkids and the fruit of a life of good labor. Or I think of another one, a hero growing up, Mark McGwire. He broke Roger Maris' single-season record of home runs in 1998, 61. He broke it to 70. But, man, the guy is just torn up now as he confessed, quote, you know, he was accused of using steroids, not having integrity. He said, no, I'm not using steroids. He lied about using steroids. He lied and broke the oath of not taking steroids as a professional ball player, etc. He goes on to say, it's very emotional. I want to get this off my chest. Every time I'd say I'm not going to talk about the past, I hear moanings. It was absolutely ripping my heart out. This is a big, strong, super, you know, manly guy. But he's saying, you know, that lack of integrity and the fruit of it just started eating me up. It's ripping my heart out. He goes on to say, with his voice cracking in the interview, I wish I had never touched steroids. It was foolish. It was a mistake. I truly apologize. Looking back, I wish I had never played during the steroid era. Now, even that, sometimes people make these apologies and you're like, I don't even trust you. You're just saying that because you have to save face. I mean, that's how broken down our world can be and the lack of trust, right? Even when people issue apologies, you're like, ah, he has to. His PR guy told him. But he's suffering. I believe this was genuine. Now, this guy was an awesome hitter. He had 49 home runs his rookie year. He was a great ball player. He would have been in the Hall of Fame without steroids. The lack of integrity, the choice to live in deception rather than truth, has really left a horrible mark on his life. He says it's ripped his heart out. He's probably never going to get in the Hall of Fame. And that's the kind of vicious cycle that Jesus is saying, sooner or later, in your life, in my life, in our lives, if we are going to live with this lack of integrity, that's going to happen. The bad fruit will bear. And Jesus comes along and he says, it doesn't have to be this way. There is a transforming practice. There is a way of, in our lives, lining up with God's will, lining up with heaven's intention, saying yes to God so that God can pour out and build in our life, out of our life, a structure that bears lasting good fruit. And this transforming practice, so simple. Speak truth. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Let there be an integrity about you, an alignment of your inside world and your outside world. Let those come together in an honest agreement that what you do, what you say you do, what you mean you say. It's so simple. It's so simple. It's betrayingly simple. And as I had to pray about it, I'm like, really? Is this, I mean, this is the fourth thing you mentioned in your everyday practices of sermon. Is it really got to be in that topic? But the more you think about it, yes. We are suffering in our world. Not just out there, though. In here. We're suffering with that temptation that it's just easier to not tell the truth. It's just easier to deceive ourselves, others. So Jesus comes along, the amazing simple truth of, hey, tell the truth. It just might transform the world, starting with you and transforming the world around you. So Jesus is getting to this incredible invitation, so simple, but he wants to create a new kind of person, a new kind of community, a new kind, ultimately, of humanity, of a world, starting with you. Living with integrity is a key to having that structural material of our life that God uses to build upon. That deception is a short-term gain that in the end will come back to destroy. But integrity is that long-term investment that pays off richly. I want to give a couple quick examples and we'll close. And on a side note, Jesus does say, anything more than this comes from evil. There's a question. Is he being 100% literal that any kind of oath is therefore a sin? And I would answer no. He's taking issue with this vicious cycle of finding ways to justify not telling the truth. And the reason why I'm confident of that is Jesus himself takes an oath. In Matthew 26, before the high priest, he testifies under oath. And Paul later uses an oath to call God as his witness. So the crux of it, the thrust of it, is about that vicious cycle where we try to just skate by in life, make it easier for ourselves, try to get ahead, try to get cooler or richer or bigger or whatever by not living with integrity. And that's where Jesus is going to come and say, no, truth builds the fabric, the material. It's that material that God builds on to make you a fruitful kingdom, fruit-bearing person. And I want to give us a couple quick examples and say that truth, as we live in this integrity, it is going to rebuild and build the foundation of those healthy relationships. And there is not many things. And as I was reflecting on this and praying about it, it's like, okay, Jesus, I see your wisdom here. Though this is simple, it's not flashy, it's not all that exciting. It's one of those things that is truly a life-changing reality. If we will live in integrity, it will be and we can be a person that can be trusted, that will build, that is the foundation on which healthy relationships can be built. And you've probably all experienced this, and I've talked a lot about out there in society, but let's go in here for a moment. Reflect in here. Reflect on your relationship with those closest to you, with your parents, with your kids, with a spouse, with close friends. Deception, hiding the truth, lies. Does that not breed mistrust, which produces fear and separates us from one another? It puts up a wall. It puts up that fig leaf in the garden where now I'm threatened by that person. Now I'm the intimacy and connection is broken. And Jesus is going to come along and say, you want to build your life for the long haul? Truth. Truth will build that trust in the foundation of your healthy relationships. And going back to marriage for just a minute, as there's one scholar that pointed out, and I think is right on, that I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus, as he talks about marriage, which we looked at the last time, 2 weeks ago, three Sundays ago, there's a sandwich. He talks about marriage and valuing marriage like he does from the beginning, as he said. God created man and woman. They would leave father and mother and be united as one. Jesus says that we need to value marriage as God does. That's a sandwich in between two things, lust and lies. And one scholar pointed out, is that a coincidence? That Jesus is talking about that fighting for marriage and the valuing marriage and the transforming practice of valuing marriage as God does, and it's a sandwich right in between fighting against lust and speaking the truth. I think it's a fabulous observation. Find a marriage that is truly honest and real, with integrity, not hiding, not deceiving, not lies, and a marriage that also fights for purity of heart. Is that not a powerful way to value marriage and produce long-term good fruit in that relationship? Absolutely. I mean, if you're doing a message on marriage, those gotta be in the top few things to make a marriage work long-term. It's fighting for purity of heart and learning how to be real and honest with one another. Because the opposite are those vicious cycles that will tear apart the fabric. And little by little erode the relationship. So Jesus is getting real here. He's getting very practical. He's saying in your daily relationships, that choice to be honest, to live with integrity. And one other thing, it will bring great freedom. Great freedom when you can get to that place of integrity. Because how many of you guys know, it is not fun trying to live a lie? How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, man. You know, slap on the Sunday morning smile. That can get old, and that gets heavy, that gets painful. That sets you up to have a bad crash. If you feel like you have to always present yourself of having it all together and you don't have struggles and you don't have hard days and you don't have doubts, you are setting yourself up for massive disappointment, massive depression, massive failure, because that's just not the reality of life. It's not the reality we see in the psalmists, who are very free to cry out and say, God, this hurts right now. God, my life's hard right now. God, where are you right now? God, I feel like you've abandoned me right now. And we've looked at that a lot. And obviously the reality is, has God abandoned them? No. But God was okay with them in the moment feeling that, expressing that. And that was even part of their transforming process. It was part of their healing process. It was part of going deep and intimate with God and God showing them his goodness and his presence in the midst of the hard things of life. But they chose to live with integrity. They didn't slap on the pretend. And there is so much freedom before God and others in being able to live with that kind of integrity, where you don't have to pretend. You don't have to put together a false picture of who you are. And I'm not saying you walk around, woe is me. No. But do you have those trusted relationships? Because there is the reality we want to also speak hope, speak life. We don't walk around like Eeyore, woe is me, everything's terrible. No. We're honest, but we're hopeful. Because that's the rock solid reality of who Jesus Christ is in our life. But no matter the hard circumstances, there's always hope. And he's here on your side with you to transform, redeem, heal. So there's always hope. But do you have those trusted people in your life that when you're not feeling that, or you're doubting that, or you're wrestling, or you're having a hard time, that you cannot have to try to just put on the front of I've got it all together and I'm everything in a bag of chips and my life's always easy and perfect? That's deception. You will not experience the fullness of God in your life with deception at any level. So Jesus is inviting us from the big picture out there, the way we do business, the way we interact with our spouse, the way we interact with our children, the way we interact with one another, all of it to the very, very personal.
I need a clip.
Jesus is giving that invitation. Learn to be real. And there's so much that will come up in this process. As I've walked this journey, it's scary because it's like, wait a second, I thought I had to pretend I had it all together. I thought I had to put on the smile. I thought I had to just always be okay. And so there's a scariness to that, but there's also this incredible freedom when before God and others, you can, in integrity, walk and start to experience the reality of God's acceptance for right where you're at. That doesn't mean he wants you to stay there forever. But right where you're at, it's not like it's a secret anyway with him. You have doubts. He knows. You've got a little anger inside. He knows. It's not a secret. Why are we so ingenious that I'm going to hide that? I'm going to hide that from God. I'm not going to be real with that. That was my revelation. Like, how dumb was I? Thinking that in some way, not being honest with God about where I'm really at is in any way helping anything. It's just putting up this wall with me and God where I'm just doing a little falsy thing, a little pretendy thing. And it's not growing me. It's like I'm hiding something. It's like I'm going to try to hide something from my wife. It's just, in the end, never a good idea. She always finds out. You know? Serious. So there is this freedom, though, that God's wanting us to walk into in integrity, where we can feel accepted as we are, who we are. And yes, we're going to be challenged to grow, but that grace that washes over us, and then be able to walk and not have to perform in front of everyone else. Because how many of you know that gets to be a heavy burden? If you always have to put on a front with other people. So maybe you got to exaggerate your stories. You got to talk in this way. You got to always kind of sound like you know. You got to interject. You got it together. Man, that's a vicious, heavy burden over time. Well, you can't just truly be yourself. You got to put on something that just looks good. Deception. And Jesus is just encouraging us. That doesn't have the structural integrity to bear long-term good fruit. That's going to collapse sooner or later, whether it's the way that it eats you up on the inside or whether way it comes back to bite you in the butt on the outside. It's not going to bear good fruit. So he comes over here and says, I invite you to walk with me, learn to live with your yes being your yes in the way that you talk with me and your yes being your yes and your no being your no in the way that you interact with others. So that you're giving God the material on which he can truly build his house in your life. You guys with me? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that you are this kind of God that invites us into authentic relationship with you and each other. And I pray, Lord, that today your Holy Spirit would be empowering us to be these kind of people. That today we would take one step, one more step towards that life of complete integrity before you. And I pray, Lord, that that your Holy Spirit would truly even be speaking to hearts right now. Showing them, revealing where you are challenging them to walk in integrity. And I want to just take a minute here of quiet. We do this from time to time. This is not just about hearing the word, but about doing, responding, and hearing from God. So I want just a 30 seconds, 1 minute or so of just quiet, and invite you, challenge you guys, just to, between you and God, say, God, is there an area of my life, or what is the next area of my life that you are inviting and challenging me to walk in integrity? And let the Lord speak. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But I hope you do, based on that invitation that Jesus is giving today of building a house that lasts. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you would reveal your truth to your children right now.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at weareelevation and on Facebook, facebook.com/weareelevation.